Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our 112th episode of ABC Islam and our 77th episode of our second series, Islamically Independent. We are two Muslim sisters to about the ABCs of Islam all the way to XYZ. Today we'll be talking about a very important topic, and that is all about how to glow up your mental health. Now, this is a time when people are having exams, so exam season, but also at the same time for a lot of people, they're actually, you know, weddings are happening as well, and things are getting quite stressful for a lot of people, and maybe even making holiday plans for the summer. So generally, I think the whole world is very busy at this time and at this period of time. So in this episode, we'll be chatting all about, inshallah, how to glow up your mental health, and we'll inshallah be answering the 5 main questions. Number 1, why is mental health on the rise? Number 2, some signs of bad or poor mental health. Number 3, what Islam says about mental health or poor mental health. Number 4, what can we do as a community to improve mental health? And number 5, what can you do as an individual to improve your mental health? And of course, I think this podcast episode is relatable to every single person because we all have mental health and we want to make sure that it's at its best as much as possible. So we hope that inshallah you enjoy. So over here I have my Muslim sister. So how are you doing and what do you think of today's episode?
Thank you so much, Jazakallah Khair, for the introduction and the beautiful introduction right there. And I think that mental health is a very important topic that I feel like in the Muslim community, we don't get enough of knowledge or that much of awareness. Even though we might go in the Western countries, we might go to university, we might hear and there about, you know, oh, there's a poster about mental health and all those kind of things. But there's not much on working work going on towards that path or that particular section of our community. So hopefully this podcast episode, I feel like we're help anyone who's going through anything, any kind of a crisis with their mental health, because we do as well sometimes, and we want to help all of you because we're all humans at the end of the day. We are all a community. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say for this introduction.
Definitely, I completely agree with you. I think the mental health should be something that is spoken about, but also it shouldn't be glamorized. I think there is a huge difference between raising awareness and glamorizing. I think we should raise awareness about mental health, but also not glamorize it. And maybe we can make a podcast episode about that in the future, about whether mental health is becoming glamorized, because I personally think that is really important to discuss as well. But if you'd like to know more about us, then please check out our trailer or alternatively description box below. Now, without any further ado, I would like to get straight into the podcast episode. And the first thing that I will be asking my sister is, why is mental health currently on the rise? Why are mental health issues increasing statistically in both the Muslim community and worldwide in general?
I think that this is a very good question, because sometimes we always think about the solution, but we don't think about the problem and how it is causing on its own and how it is becoming such a big thing. For example, we're always trying to find the cause first of the problem and then we think of the solution, which is why our structure of our podcast is basically like that. We always start with the cause. We start with the, you know, we go through the main problem first, and then we go through the Islamic part, and then we give you all very practical solutions on how to really get that thing done or how to get rid of that. So I feel like mental health is on crisis right now in the 21st century, mainly because obviously we know the basic reasons such as anxiety, depression. You know, you have all this kind of pressure in your heart, in your brain, and you cannot sleep at night and all those kind of things. But I also feel like one of the unpopular opinions as to why mental health is on the rise, I feel like it's because of boredom. Some people, you might be thinking what you're saying, because in the 21st century, everybody's busy, like, you know, they're doing so many things at the same time. So how can you say boredom is a reason why mental health is on the rise? Because let's be honest, when we are actually scrolling down the Instagram and we're seeing all these models or all these handsome guys who have their abs and everything like that, and you're there for 2-3 minutes and you don't even realize that, you know, 15 minutes have passed by when you actually wanted to spend on it 2 minutes, that's when you realize that, that's when you start comparing yourself and you think to yourself that, wait, why don't I look like this? Why can't I have a house like this or a car like this or a body like this? So that's when you start thinking about all these negative things, which subconsciously gets registered in your brain. And then if you do this, keep repeating doing this every single day for, let's say, 2-3 minutes every hour, then you can imagine how frustrated your brain is going to be. And that is contributed mainly because you're getting bored, honestly. Boredom is a really, really good way for you to get all these negative thoughts when you have nothing to do and you're just scrolling down your Instagram. That's when I feel like your mental health can become very negative. And I also feel like paired with that is loneliness. Some people, I know myself, I'm a person who loves staying at home and, you know, doing my own things at home. But I feel like if I stay at home way too long as well, it can be very, very bad for your mental health as well. Because then I start thinking, why did I say this maybe 1 week ago to this person, for example, or why did that person said this to me yesterday? So that's when you start, you know, creating these thoughts, and that can definitely affect your mental health, which is why I urge all of you not to be alone or bored at the same time.
Definitely. Of course, it doesn't mean that with boredom we can't have breaks. It is very important to have breaks. But I think that boredom is caused when you are essentially procrastinating. I think that boredom is caused from procrastination. So if you procrastinate a lot, then that can cause boredom. And also, if you feel like you don't have much activity in your life, of course, this world, a lot of people say there's actually all about the hustle culture and that it's bad. I personally think that hustle culture is not really bad at all. Like, yes, of course, it's bad to like 24/7 be working, but I think that keeping your life busy and having a variety of activities and improving and growing yourself is actually a really, really good thing, which I completely agree with. And I think that that actually reduces boredom. And in terms of loneliness, of course, you need to also learn how to enjoy your own company. But I completely agree with my sister, which is the fact that if you keep telling yourself that, oh, I feel so lonely, then your brain will register it and it will keep repeating itself to you, and eventually you will start feeling like all the negative emotions while you're alone. So now that I've talked about a little bit, like, you know, agreeing with my sister, I wanted to also now talk about some of the signs. And the first sign of, you know, bad or poor mental health is definitely when you keep getting distracted by your thoughts, or when you keep getting, you can't really stay focused. And I think that that is something that comes a lot from, it doesn't mean now if you guys can't concentrate on your maths homework that there's something wrong with you. That doesn't, obviously that's not the case. But what we're trying to say is, like, for example, if you feel like there are certain things that you used to do daily, which, you know, you could just do perfectly, but now you feel like everything is a chore for you. You feel like everything just feels like you're lifting a really heavy burden on your shoulder. And I think that's something that I definitely saw, I think, 1 or 2 days ago in school, where they showed us a video of, you know, this how depression looks like. And it was this video of this man who literally, the depression was actually classified as a black dog. So they just pretended as if the black dog was the depression, and carrying the black dog with them every single day was how depression really feels like for people who are depressed. So it was like this metaphor which really, like, nicely showed how depression is. And I think that's exactly what it is. When you have bad or poor mental health, you feel like this constant burden you're carrying, and it can distract you from your normal tasks and make normal tasks really, really difficult. But again, don't get this differentiated with laziness. If you're just lazy and you can't be bothered to wake up in the morning, that doesn't mean that now you have a bad mental health. And also, if you can't concentrate on small things, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. And secondly is that worrying. Of course, worrying is something that causes stress. It causes anxiety, it causes depression, it causes even anorexia and other eating disorders. So worrying is something that, again, we need a little bit of in our lives to make sure that we're taking rational decisions. But at the same time, overthinking and over worrying can mean that we are not getting on with a task and we're not enjoying the present moment. And the last one is definitely low mood. I think that, you know, if you have low mood constantly, again, low mood is something that's very normal. If it's at small doses at, you know, occasional times, like, for example, in exam season, it is actually very normal for a lot of people to go through low mood. But that doesn't mean that now you have to live with it for the rest of your life. If you realize it's something that is being prolonged and nothing's working out, then hopefully the next few verses of the Quran should help you out.
Definitely. And that's what exactly we're going to be moving on to, because it is all about, what does Islam say about mental health or poor mental health in general, and how should we as humans be dealing with those according to the Quran or the Hadith. So what did you find?
So actually it's my sister who found this verse from the Quran, and that is chapter 28 verse number 1, and I quote, "But seek through that which Allah has given you the home of the hereafter, and yet do not forget your share of the world," end quote. So this is basically all about I, in my opinion, I think that this is about the balance. And I think that this really promotes balance, because if you realize, in this world, we obviously have been sent to this world to worship Allah. That is our main purpose. But also it is a test to see what we're going to do in this world, because obviously we are not told as humans to worship Allah 24/7. That is our main purpose. But we obviously have to do other activities such as studying, such as working, such as having healthy halal relationships. So you can build a good life in this life and also in the hereafter. And it's all about the balance. So I think that is really reassuring to hear, because when, for example, you're getting too afraid of death, or you're getting too afraid that you're what if you end up in the hellfire, God forbid, and things like that, then you can always remind yourself of this verse that actually you need to also think about your share of this world. You need to also think about this world and how you can productively live this world and leave a legacy and benefit people, and also make yourself feel happy when you get in your deathbed and you realize that you have accomplished the goals that you wanted to achieve. But at the same time, Quranic verse also gives the latter, the opposite side, which is that also don't get too engrossed in this world and don't be too anxious about the future, because in the end of the day, we're all going to die. And honestly, if I'm going to be honest to you, after you die, unfortunately, things are going to pass eventually, and no one's going to really remember what you did. And obviously this doesn't mean that now legacies don't exist. There's always going to be Einstein who will be always remembered, but of course it is really, really, really good to leave a legacy in this world. But also small mistakes or things that you do in the long run will not be remembered, and you need to remember that the main place that we are going to be living infinitely for the rest of our lives is the hereafter. So it's all about the balance. You obviously want to avoid mistakes, and you want to avoid sinning, and you want to make sure you're living this life productively. But at the same time, you also do not want to get anxious and stressed about this world, because you know that everyone's going to die anyways one day, and the main focus should be on the hereafter. So I really love this Quranic verse. It shows the balance, and I think that can make your mental health stabilized and balanced as well.
Definitely, because I think that some people say that, yeah, don't do so much hard work in this world, because what's the point? Everything is gonna go in vain in your graveyard and everything like that. Nobody's gonna remember you. But at the same time, you also don't want to be neglecting this life, because Allah has given us this opportunity to live us this world in a free will kind of a way, because we do have free will. Unlike the angels, we do have free will to do whatever we like at the end of the day. If we don't want to do something, we actually don't do it. So that's actually a very big, nice blessing from Allah that we can actually do that. And this is why promoting the balance of the both of the world is very, very important, or universe and the world, but yeah, whatever. And the one that I want to say is from Sahih Bukhari, which is, I think, a really, really nice one that I found, in my opinion. And I start with by quoting, "There is no disease that Allah has created except that He also created its treatment," end quote. So that is such a nice way, because I still remember, and this came, I think 10 years ago, when I remember when I was watching TV with my parents, and then I found out that this particular singer at the time had cancer or something, and people back then were thinking that, oh my gosh, she's not going to be alive because she has cancer and stuff. And people used to think that cancer has no cure. But this verse reminded me that actually she actually did went from, from the home country. She went to Singapore or something, and then she actually got treatment, and she actually felt better afterwards, and she got her treatment. She basically got rid of the cancer completely. And so that clearly shows that everything that Allah has created in this world, if it's a problem, quote unquote, it has a solution to it as well. And that's when I remembered when I saw this particular verse or a statement or a hadith. And I felt like there's always hope for everything. You might be going through something which is diagnosed, for example, anxiety, and you might be thinking there's no cure to this, and there is a cure to this. I'm sure, I'm 110% sure there is. If there's something cure for cancer, I know cancer is under research and everything, but there are some cases where we've seen that people have come out successfully out of cancer. So there's everything, there's a solution to every single problem out there. You just need to look for them, and you just need to see them as a sign from God that He's actually helping you through these signs of actually helping you and guiding you through solutions. And I think this was such a nice quote that I'm always going to remember, hopefully. And this is where we go to the most important part of this podcast episode, which is all about how to help yourself and how we can help each other as a community to become more self-aware about mental health issues. So how can you help, how can you advise someone how to help themselves out of this, mental health crisis they might be going through?
So definitely, I think that this is definitely one of the main reasons why I think a lot of you guys have come, especially in this exam season and very busy season. I think that it is very, very easy to neglect your mental health. And let me tell you guys, I understand that exams are really, really important, but let me tell you, health is number one, and it's just a fact. If you are not, you know, if you're not functioning properly, then nothing else in your life will function. Your relationships are not going to function. Even your worship with Allah is not going to function properly. And even your, you know, education will not function. So you need to ensure you take care of your health. That doesn't also mean that now, you know, like, again, everything that I'm saying in this podcast has a balance to it. Of course, you need to also ensure that you don't get lazy, and that if you're feeling upset that you completely stop studying, you need to also sometimes have discipline to push yourself. So it's all about really making sure you do take care of your mental health, but also have a balance and harmony as well. So my first tip in order to have good mental health is to make sure, very, very simple one, yet is so underrated, which is to take regular breaks. And I think that, again, I understand where a lot of people come with the hustle culture mindset, which is that the hustle culture is bad because it promotes, you know, not having breaks. And I think that, again, I don't personally think that's what the hustle culture is about. I personally think the hustle culture says you should stay busy but also have breaks. But having the breaks is something that a lot of people just forget to do when they are really engrossed in studying. So for example, right now, a lot of students are getting stressed about last minute studying, and they actually feel like they have not studied enough. So they're going to spend these last 1 week before their exams just proper studying. But what this also means is that they are not going to get any breaks. And this eventually means that by the time they comes to their exams, they're going to feel burnt out, and they're not going to have taken care of themselves. And that's just not how life works. You need to make sure you balance everything out. So my tip would be to make sure take regular breaks. And what I mean by take regular breaks is possibly after, if you're talking about students, it could be 25 minutes studying, 5 minute break, or even things like studying after you've studied for a certain number of hours in the day. After like a certain time limit, you stop studying. So for example, like 8 o'clock, after 8 o'clock, you stop studying, for example. So you need to have certain time limits. So to make sure you do incorporate breaks, especially if you're a person who's really bad at incorporating breaks and time for relaxation. And the second tip that I have is to actually make sure that you find hobbies that are good and halal and make you happy. And again, this is something that a lot of people don't think about, because I think the default thing to do when you are tired, or when you're angry, or when you're upset, or any negative emotion you're facing, is to suppress it and just use your phone. But unfortunately, that's not the way to actually solve that issue. You need to let yourself feel the emotion, and you need to find certain hobbies that will help you to release your creativity, unleash your creativity, and have a way to actually escape your your creativity, and you know, your hobbies and your passions. So for example, even spending 15 to 20 minutes every day just doing something that you enjoy to do. And if you find it really hard to find what hobbies you enjoy, remember that they can be free, they can be done at home, and usually the best ones are the ones you've done in your childhood. So for example, fun little story about me, I love reading books, and when I read books, like childhood books, like even the ones I've read at like 9 years old, my mom is like, why are you reading a book after studying? It doesn't make sense, you've read books the whole day. But what she doesn't understand is that, you know, obviously this is my way of basically having a hobby, and that's my way of relaxing. Even though I'm still reading, after reading books like biology books, I still feel this reading this book, specific book, and my childhood book is actually much more relaxing. So obviously, love my mom, but the hobbies is something that's very personal to you. So don't let anyone tell you. If the hobby is halal, go and do it. And the third thing that you should do in order to improve your mental health is to make sure that you actually identify what is causing you your low mood. And again, there will be some things in life that you cannot remove. For example, exams. Like, you can't really reschedule exams most of the time, especially with GCSEs and A-levels. So sometimes you just have to get on with it. There'll be some things in your life where you just can't change, and you are going to have exam stress. There's really nothing you can do about it. But maybe there are certain things that trigger the exam stress. So for example, if you realize that studying 2 minutes before the exam starts, which some people do, like they literally study like 1 minute before going into the exam hall and then they stop studying when they enter the exam hall. I personally think that for me, like, that doesn't work. I think for my sister, it doesn't work either. So, like, you know, you need to find what increases the stress levels and how you can potentially decrease it. And this takes a lot of reflection and inner work. And the fourth tip that I have in order to improve your mental health is to make sure you do seek knowledge and you actually make your own decisions, because I think that a lot of the reasons why poor mental health is happening right now is because of decision fatigue. I personally think there are so many options out there that a lot of people are just confused because there's just so much options out there. Whilst if we had, it's like if you have less options, you kind of have a happier life in a kind of a way, because you have less decision fatigue. Whilst if you have a lot of options, you're just really confused. So make sure you're not in that state of confusion. If you really feel confused, the best place to go is the Quran, because it has all the rules and guidelines you need to know. And as long as you're following the Quran, you're definitely in the right path. And the last tip that I have very quickly for improving your mental health is to actually make sure that you do seek support. I've said all these tips that you can do personally, but remember that you can seek support. And obviously, the best supporter is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to make dua to Allah in your 5 daily prayers. Make sure you don't neglect those 5 daily prayers, but also seek support from people around you, because Allah has given those people to you so that you can improve your mental health and you can lean on each other and support each other, because life is not always supposed to be easy, and that's why we're social creatures. We gain support from each other. So that was my 5 tips on how to improve your mental health.
I think those were absolutely amazing, and some of the things that I would definitely implement in the future. Hopefully I don't get any mental health issues, but I know I will, because we're all humans. So one of the things that I would say definitely as a community, what we can do as a Muslim community, and also anyone who's listening to this and is not Muslim, you can also do this too and take part as well. The first thing that I would highly recommend is the fact that the Muslim community becomes more educated in terms of how to help someone who has, you know, mental health issues like anxiety, depression. Because most of the time we see all these therapists and they're most likely to be non-Muslim, and they might give us really nice advices, not gonna lie, but they might give us very non-Islamic advices, which is why we need more Muslims who are just not doing their default degrees, which are like, you know, the law, engineering and doctor. Basically, we need more people who are actually, you know, doing degrees that are gearing towards helping people with their mental health more specifically, because I feel like we need more people like that in our society. And of course, that can be very challenging. Of course, I know that, you know, some parents might not agree with your degree choice or anything like that. Oh, you're going to do psychiatry? No, you're not going to do that. But if you like it, if you enjoy it, I feel like we need more Muslim, you know, counselors or, you know, therapists that actually can help us, psychologists who can actually understand us and can give us Islamic advices at the same time. The second thing that I definitely recommend that what we can do as a community is to attend mosque seminars and, you know, lectures where they're talking about maybe, you know, mental health and how to deal with it. And you can see many online as well, of course, but it's best to always go in the mosque where everybody's around you and everybody's listening without the phone and everything like that. And you just see the, you know, the imam or the sheikh, whoever it is, speaking, and they can just tell you all these tips and you just instantly feel good because you're in surrounding of so many people who are actually, you know, practicing the religion and they're looking their best, and you're also looking your best as well. So hopefully that can be helpful. The third thing that I would say, that please, sheikhs and, you know, leaders out there in the world, I feel like more and more of them need to speak up about these issues as well, because I don't feel like many of them do speak, and even if they do, it's very rarely. But this has to be something that should be spoken more often, I feel like. That's in my opinion. So then more and more people will be inclined to actually get help from Muslim counselors or, like, you know, somebody who is like in our religion realm.
Definitely. And also, not only in developed countries but underdeveloped countries, because I see in ethnic minority countries such as South Asian countries like Bangladesh or India, or some of them, they have like scholars who are very good, but they don't talk about things like mental health or marriage or abortion or things that are like very controversial, and they just try to like hide it away, which is because of the culture and the stereotypes. But I personally think that that should not be the case.
Exactly. And I think that the best starting point for these leaders is to talk about about mental health, in my opinion, because that's like the lowest, highest thing that they can talk about, if you know what I mean. But the fourth thing that I highly recommend is the training of GPs, doctors, or anybody who is in the medicine field as well, because I feel like they also can get stressed and they also need help on how to really, you know, help patients who might be going through these things. I think that's really, really important. And the fourth thing that I would, the fifth thing that I would say is we need more female psychologists. I feel like that are Muslim. You get me? Like, we need more female Muslim psychologists who can actually help us, because let's be honest, even if we have a Muslim male psychologist or psychiatrist or whatever, we might not be feeling comfortable as a woman to go up to them and share our problems, because that can create a lot of stigma in a way, and they also can feel very uncomfortable listening to your problems. So however, if a woman is there instead, like a woman nurse, whenever we're going to do something in the hospital that requires, you know, showing your body, for example, we require a female doctor or we request a female nurse. So we want the same thing in the psychology realm, where we see more mental health people, counselors, therapists who are actually females, and that's really, really important, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And if you know someone, I actually just reminded me of someone, if you guys don't know, there is a YouTube channel called Nafisa's Pearls, and she actually is a Muslim life coach. So maybe if you guys would like a female psychologist or like a counselor of some sort, because I think she does have a psychology degree as well. So if you would like to have, like, you know, a certain conversation like that, and you, especially if you're based in the UK and you're female, then you can definitely contact her. I think she's quite good. But yeah, that was basically our podcast episode, all about how to improve your mental health. It is definitely, mental health is something that is something that goes up and down, and it's really all about you. It's about your mindset and how you want to improve your mental health, and it's your responsibility to do so. And as long as you are worshiping Allah and you're trying your best, I think that, you know, you should be able to maintain a good mental health. So alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of our wonderful podcast episode today. We really hope that inshallah you've learned something new. Also, as we've said, if you don't already know, we upload every Friday on our Islamically Independent series here on ABC Islam. If you're excited, then please subscribe or follow us on podcast platforms such as Google Podcasts, our podcast, and Spotify. Most platforms are free and you don't even need to log on. Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah bless us all, and we will inshallah see you next time. Assalamu alaikum.